Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lane.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babes?
I am fab. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. You're in a different room to last week.
Yep, I found another little quiet space. I've been told that the sound is better in here. Nice padded walls.
Soaking up some of the sound.
Yeah, so I'm hopefully not as echoey as I was on the last episode last week. But this is the joy of having to return to the office and also record this in a big empty space where there's no people and no, but here, I mean, honestly, I'm surrounded just by like boxes and just old magazines. Yeah, so
you've got the old vintage magazines there. I'd be interested to have a little flick through. Stephen was just telling me before we started recording, he's got some vintage celeb goss magazines. Like, we're going back to what, 2003?
Yeah, 2003. Madonna and Guy Ritchie split. J-Lo and Ben Affleck, the wedding. I mean, we're talking about that now. 19.
That has come right back round.
Amanda Holden, she's out to get a new man. I mean, it's just on and on. Ulrika Johnson, Heartbreak, Brad and Jennifer, Marriage Crisis. I mean, it's like a little treasure trove in here.
Isn't it funny, like that moment in time? But how funny our showbiz history repeats itself sometimes. Because a couple of them things, even the Brad and Jen has been topical even at the start of the year.
Yeah, I'm sure we've talked about it at some point. There's always it's all the same people. They just kind of go in and out of fashion, I guess, don't they? But then you're talking about people like Ben and J-Lo. I don't think any of us were expecting at the beginning of this year to see them back together, but here we are.
Here we are. who only knows what we'll be reading in another 19 years?
Yeah, forever. Christ, oh good Lord. Hopefully all that's about you and me, Bob, when we've taken over the world.
Exactly.
How are you anyway? Did you have a good weekend?
Really good, thank you, babe. So recorded episode 2 of the Towie official after party, which I'm just loving so much. It's such a ball doing it. And it's just really lovely to be in a studio in London, filming that, having that new role. So that's lovely. I'm just loving being in London for work a little bit. Like, I definitely feel like when you finish work, if you're just either going to a train station or if you're going for a bite to eat, more and more people are there. It's getting busier. You're seeing more tourists, which is lovely, which is obviously great for us. Just a really nice vibe and energy. But I think everyone is holding out and just grabbing on now to these last few weeks of kind of semi late, bit of sun before it gets too late. Because I think we're probably not far off when the clocks change that it becomes a pretty dark, doesn't it, by the time you leave the office?
Yeah, 100%. I forget about that. I mean, it's shortest. I mean, it gets dark about 4:30, doesn't it? So yeah, we've still got to make the most of it now. I've got my shorts on today. I'm going to keep them on while it's warm.
Babes, yeah, get the pins out. On Instagram that you got yourself your boots.
Yeah, I've got my walking boots ready for next week to climb up Ben Nevis with my OAP auntie. She's well up for it. Her and her husband, they're very active people. So yesterday I've got my walking boots, nice little 30 quid from Sports Direct. Well, I mean, you can't complain.
Are you breaking them in? Is that why you're wearing them early?
Yeah, apparently if you don't, you run the risk of getting blisters and stuff like that. And obviously because it's a 7-hour walk, they're up and down. So you don't really walk many places for 7 hours, even if you're, do you know what I mean? You might do a couple of hours and then stop at a pub or whatever, or a little seaside walk for 45 minutes. But yeah, so it's going to be quite intense. But
I couldn't even do Oxford Street for 7 hours, I don't think. So that's off to you.
You'd run out of shops, I think, probably.
I'd run out of shops. I certainly would want a little Starbucks or a little coffee stop somewhere along the line.
Yeah, we're stop for lunch. I don't know if we're going to take...
Is there like restaurants up there?
No. We're going to take our own. There's no restaurants, Bob.
There's little Nando's, Carluccio's.
Oh my God, that'd be lovely. sadly not. No, but my auntie's very disturbed because I'm going to be staying in a caravan for 3 days. So it's going to be quite like a back to basics experience in the Scottish Highlands. So... it would be nice. Yes, I did today. I got my walking boots. I've been trudging them around Camden, trying to find my lunch. I feel like a right prick walking around.
Meal deal.
Yeah, basically looking like I've just come out of the countryside, but you know, wouldn't quite call East London that.
When do you go? So it's next week.
Yeah, this weekend. So I'm actually going to be climbing the mountain next Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on the weather. And it might not happen either day if the weather's bad. But if that's the case, then we'll just go into Fort William, which is the nearest city or town rather, and you know, just soak up some of the sights in the rain.
Have a nice little country pub lunch.
Exactly. That'd be nice. Yeah, so it won't be a washout kind of whatever happens. So
that'll be nice. Oh, I'm excited. So, yeah. I really keep fingers crossed it'll be nice. If you like the weather that we've got this week, you're laughing.
Yeah, I think Scotland isn't probably quite the same as it is down in London. but we'll see. The forecast at the minute is sunshine and showers, so it could go either way.
Kind of makes it hard to pack. So what have you got? A little rain jacket that you can put in the rucksack?
Yeah, got a rain jacket, but I've got to take layers so that I can, you know, basically strip off as we go if I get hot, or put more on if I get cold. My auntie's husband has got me some waterproof trousers, so I'm sure they'll be absolutely stunning to wear as I'm climbing.
You've got to be grateful for them if it becomes a torrential rain.
That is very true. I just don't think I've ever worn waterproof trousers, but that's not to say, well, now is the time to start, really, isn't it?
So if you're climbing mountains, Stephen, it's the time. Do you know what? I mean, obviously, I've never climbed a mountain.
Neither have I.
I have these little... It's a green thing. I think the brand's called Compeed. I would say other brands are available, but I'm not actually sure if they are. But not an ad. But it's really good. It's like a really small deodorant stick. And if you kind of get like a blister, so for there's certain shows that obviously you can't wear socks with, aren't
there? Yeah.
Depending on like what you wear with it, like if it's the suit and showing a bit of ankle.
Bit of ankle, like Victorian times.
Yeah, just flash a bit of skin, just that 2 inch between the shoe and the trouser.
Yeah.
But this little Compeed stinky, it's called, I don't know if it's like, I so couldn't work in their PR because I'm probably getting this so wrong. I want to say it's almost like an invisible plaster protector barrier.
Okay.
So yeah, it's good little sticks. So basically, really long story short, if you get yourself one of them little sticks, put it in your rucksack. I mean, I don't know how much it will help on blisters, as in a 7-hour trek, but it does you all right if you walk around Westfields.
Well, look, I mean, it's basically the same thing, just with a slight incline, isn't it? So we'll see. But actually, yes, that's probably a good shout. I probably should get some kind of stick or some plasters or
blister
or something.
Pump, in case.
So, yeah, so I've got that to look forward to anyway. But do you know what? We're blabbing on. This is what we normally talk about at the end of the show, Bob. But we have...
Stuck alive stories for us.
Yeah, isn't it? So we're having a bit of a different show this week. We've only got one guest today, but she is fabulous. From First Dates, we've got Laura Tott coming up later. And we're going to be running through all of the very exciting show news because it has been a very busy week this week.
Well, I guess the big showbiz story is that we've got the announcement of our celeb couples and their professional partners for Strictly now.
Yes, very true. Any caught your eye?
Oh, do you know what? I'm really, and I know I said it, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and this is literally, I'm basing this on my love for her. I'm back in Judy Love.
Judy Love and Graziano, I'm well here for that.
Love a bit of Grats.
Yeah.
Love a bit of
Gorgeous Grats.
Yeah. Grads and Judes. I mean, I'd love a Saturday night out with them, spinning around on a dance floor.
Me too.
I'm rooting for them. And I really think they will do well.
I'm inclined to agree with you. Yeah, there's a couple. I wrote down a couple just so I could remind myself. I think Adam Peaty, the Olympian, and Katja are going to be two to look out for, because Katja does come up with some incredible dances. And she had to pull out last year when she was with Nicola Adams, which was the first ever same-sex coupling on the show.
And I'm sure they'll look lovely spinning around in his lycra.
Certainly not going to be complaining about him in a see-through shirt or some such. Then also John Waite and from Bake Off, and Johannes, who are going to be the first male pairing to take to the floor. I saw a little tiny clip of them dancing together on Steph's Packed Lunch. Now, I'm going to say I was expecting a little bit more of John.
What way? Tell me.
I don't know.
I've not seen this clip.
A bit stiff.
So the moves weren't quite there yet. Was it a little bit kind of Time and Envy nightclub vibes?
After a few too many shots.
Yeah. Apple says.
Yeah, exactly. But he's got a brilliant teacher in Johannes, and if anyone can get it out of him, then it's probably him. So, I think those two are going to be ones to watch out for. And then
I think the public will take to our first all male partnership.
That's a really good question. I think both John and Johannes are fairly popular, like with the public, right? Neither of them have ever done anything horribly offensive or anything like that. And I honestly do think that people just want to watch a good performance. I mean, we can say this as two very like openly gay men, you know, like that's how I watch it. Obviously you do see who's dancing, but what you're actually looking for is a great performance on the night, kind of regardless of who they are in it.
The gender.
And, you know, it's been a long time coming. Strictly's been on, 16, 17 years, something like that. And hopefully there's no COVID outbreak like there was with Paul Catcher and Nicola last time. I have a good feeling that people are going to like them. And John's very easy on the eye. Johannes is very easy on the eye. You know, there's a lot going for them. What do you think?
Yeah, but I think you're right. I definitely think it's time. And BBC certainly have, as we've seen over the last year or two, we've seen the diversity, which is amazing. And I just think it's of its time now, you know. And I really hope that if anything, it starts conversations, because what we have to remember is Strictly's on in so many houses, and it's one of them shows that you can have three different generations under one roof watching that. And if that is, I just think it's time, and I really hope that, like you say, people, regardless of people's, if they're pro it or not pro it, see the performance for the performance and take away what the gender is. So regardless of that, I think if something deserves its score, let's base it on that and not anything else.
Yeah, because if they're rubbish, then they deserve to go out.
Of course, yeah. I certainly don't think we should be keeping partnerships in just because of something. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If the performance isn't there, because then you would then feel bad on the other couples in the show. But I think it's great if it opens up conversation. And I know over the time we've done this show together, we frequently speak with Strictly stars, and I've interviewed quite a lot for my magazine column. And the majority of dancers, in fact, I think all of them will always say, dance is dance. The partner doesn't matter. Like, the gender doesn't come into it. And I think when you start training, girls are paired with girls and boys are paired with boys. So to them, it's actually nothing new.
But
I think it's great. I'm really, really excited. But the scary thing about Strictly starting is, to me, it's always, and it's what we used to get with the X Factor, it's just that little subconscious reminder that Christmas is ticking away now.
Yeah, summer is 100% over when those shows have started, aren't they? And I'm inclined to agree with you on that. But hopefully we'll have a good full series like we managed last year. And, you know, by the time it comes to the end, it's Christmas. And then I love a bit of January. So, you know, bring it on. Like, let's get round to the new year. Let's get on with it. Let's get on with it. And
2022, it's got to be a good one, Stephen. I know we said this last year. But it's gonna be, and I love an even number. I love even numbers. I'm a little bit weird to the point that I almost really dislike odd.
Okay, is this a superstitious thing?
I think so, and it's a very subconscious thing. But I can't be in the car and have my radio volume on an odd number.
Right,
I can't have an odd number on the TV at home. Obviously, unless it's the channel. But if it's volume, everything has to be even.
I mean, I didn't really work for 2020 though, did it? I mean, that was a pretty ropey.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a shitter when it comes to loving an even number. But I think even numbers weren't going to help a global pandemic.
No, I don't think any amount of affirmations before bedtime were going to stop the global pandemic, were they?
Or saluting. Well, that's another one. Are you superstitious?
A little bit. I won't walk under a ladder.
What about the magpies? Because I must spend, and I'm not exaggerating now, it happens several times a day. I probably must spend about 45 minutes a week to an hour saluting magpies. Now, that's an hour of my life. That's 4 hours a month, and I'm not very good at maths.
It's a part-time job.
That's 52 hours a year I'm spending saluting magpies. I'm basically like a wildlife man.
Yeah, you're like a Chris Packham doing Countryside or something. Well, you know, I never had the magpie thing growing up. I only ever heard about it when I was an adult. So, no, I've never saluted a magpie. And I did genuinely, when I first saw my friend do it, I remember I was at university and I was like, what are you doing? Like, I honestly had no concept. But yeah, apparently it's a big thing. Just wasn't where I lived in Hampshire. So,
yeah, just call me Bobby Attenborough.
Yeah. there's a job shift for you from TOWIE to nature documentaries.
To nature documentaries, imagine.
But there was another little bit of news this week, actually. I don't know if you saw that the Love Island couple, Millie and Liam, are apparently already looking for a house. Now, they did say apparently that they weren't going to be doing that. and turns out, you know, like a month after they've won, they are. What do you make of it? Because I think I know you spent all that time together in the villa, but a month in, I don't know.
From someone that was on a reality TV show for 10 years, I get that time in a reality TV show isn't like any other kind of time. Mm-hmm. Minutes are like hours, hours are like days, and so on. So time, it's its own little entity when it comes to time on a reality TV show, and especially in a couple or a relationship, because I mean, it's probably slightly different when you're in Love Island, because the whole thing's about love and you're in a villa. But basically, you would be living your life off camera, then on camera, and then it becomes very much that in itself magnifies time.
Okay.
If you said to someone in a traditional 9-to-5 job, if they turned around and said, I'm moving in with someone after a month, I get what you're saying, definitely. But also being in a villa with no contact to the outside world, no friends, no family, no internet, they've probably done so much talking in them 24 hours a day, or however many hours they was awake. They probably feel like they've known each other a lot longer.
Yeah.
I would worry, though, it could be a little bit too soon, just because if you wanted to make the relationship work, sometimes it's not until you move in with someone. Actually, it's you do little things that get on each other's tits. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you don't see that in the build up or the early days when you just go a lovely bit of lunch or a bit of dinner, or do you fancy a porn star martini? It's all lovely. It's not until you start seeing, well, actually, he's not very good at washing up. He doesn't do this, or she don't do
wet
that.
Wet towels on the floor, or
yeah, and then it grinds your gears a little bit. So I almost think have your honeymoon period a little bit longer. But
that's true, actually. The drudgery of real life can probably get in the way quite quickly, right? I would imagine, but. What part of me wonders if it's maybe like a bit of a business choice. They know I imagine most people, especially if they win the show, know that they have a short window of opportunity to make as much money as possible. And maybe that's part of their thinking. Not there's anything wrong with that. You've gone on a reality show, you've won it, you know, you get one shot, you know, now's the time to take it. And maybe that's part of their thinking too. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see where that one goes, I guess.
I'm sure regardless of what happens, we will be seeing it, reading about it, and we'll certainly be talking about it. So it's got to be one to watch.
I think you're right on that one, Bob.
Because sometimes you see that the Pickford fans arrive, you see them moving in the pap shots.
Kissing, like, oh yeah, lovely little dog.
Yeah, and then 6 months later, not with this couple in particular, but with couples in the past, You see that same old delivery van, it rocks back up with black bags and
same driver.
Yeah, they're out there. And so yeah, it's a watch this space, but we wish them both the best. Obviously, if they can make it work after a month, amazing. How lovely would that be? I mean, that's the dream for everyone. That's goals, isn't it? But my one thing would be like, oh, it's the month. Like, yeah, it's just a little bit. It's who's going to do the shopping this? But yeah, it's real life things that kind of take the magic.
Wear you down.
Yeah. We're in a time now of delivery services. So maybe you ain't got to get in the car and even worry about going to Sainsbury's.
Fair point.
Get it delivered now, don't it? Uber Eats.
I can't imagine Millie and Liam, I imagine they'd be absolutely accosted if they went to a Tesco. So maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the delivery. Talking of deliveries, have you seen, just quickly, I know we've spoke about it and we're slowly seeing that shops and stock was changing. But I was reading this week, apparently no turkeys, they don't think, for Christmas.
Certainly,
they're almost guaranteeing there's no Brussels sprouts. Now, what have Brussels sprouts done? I mean, I know they get a bad rep, but I quite like a sprout.
Oh, me too.
I cook a good sprout, a bit of bacon with it. Oh,
lovely.
I do a stunning sprout. Apparently, that'll be like trying to find a unicorn this Christmas. No sprouts.
So what are we all going to be eating for Christmas?
Not
dry crackers. Dry crackers and a...
Dry crackers, but where's all the turkeys gone? That's what you've got to ask yourself.
I mean, I think we're in,
And no CO2. Which I'm not 100% sure what that is, but there's no CO2 left or something.
I think it's something to do. Yeah, I'm not actually sure what that bit is about. But apparently there's going to be like no fizzy drinks as well. So if you want to get your, your tonic Lovely. Ready for your little Diet Coke, maybe they're going to run out soon. So, so who knows? It's
be bad times.
Bad times all around, Bob.
But the worrying thing is as well, we've been here before 18 months ago or 20 months ago, however long ago it was. We can't do stockpiling people because we have to remember some people can't get to the shops that often or
bless them.
Because I just think about the older people or the people that aren't able to get into a shop that, do you remember them memes of just a man stood in the toilet roll aisle at like Tesco's and there weren't a scrap of paper anywhere, not even kitchen roll. And he was all sad, like, we can't be stockpiling here. So
I'm hopeful most people have learnt the lesson, but then the difference is that it was actually still coming through. It was just being bought quicker than people could deliver it, wasn't it? Yeah. Now there's actually a shortage. So...
And Christmas was semi-cancelled last year, wasn't it? It was very much just in your house. Whereas, as far as I'm aware, well, the household thing's changed. We've got the vaccine now. So is that going to make it worse? Because people are going to think, right, we are allowed to have other houses round, which, I mean, I don't know what you're going to feed them. Because you can come in this year. We've got nothing in it, but come on round.
Maybe some bits from the bottom of the freezer that have been sitting there for a long time. Do you know what I mean? Some...
It's going to be
cool nuggets and
to be resourceful.
Yeah.
Maybe it will take us back to the true meaning of Christmas.
Oh, bugger the true meaning of Christmas. Yeah. I want
a pig in a blanket.
Yeah, right? Like, I mean, like, I hate all this, like, let's get back to basics stuff. We did a back to basics Christmas last year and it was shit. So let's do a proper one this year.
We've had a basic... Year and a half. Sick of being basic bitches.
Why is it always the UK that's got to be so bloody basic? Everyone else seems to be living their best lives. It's just us stuck like in a loony bin of one. I don't know.
Talking of random things that are becoming hard to get, I also saw that, and I don't know how they work this out, but apparently normally there would be 50 lorries coming from
Calais.
So China, might be wrong.
Oh, okay.
Could be Calais, could be China. I'm sure it was a sea. But normally there'd be 50 vans of toys coming over, 50 lorries.
Oh, right,
out of them 50, only two have gone, two out of 50. So then the part of me, does that mean there's going to be no, even down to the toys now? I mean, we can't worry about it or think about it, because we're talking about Christmas like it's next week and it's still September.
Yeah, true.
But it is a little bit of a, we've got to do something about it. We knew this was going to happen. I mean, Brexit's been on the card, it feels, for about, 15 years? Like, what goes on here?
Well, this, Bob, if you get me started on Brexit, as my former co-host Lizzie Cundy will learn, I'll never stop. So best to avoid that conversation.
Forget the B word.
Forget the B word. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously a bit like alarming, but we are where we're at. So
we move.
So we move. There was also, we've got some other kind of bad news this week. Cheryl, who obviously was performing the night before that Sarah Harding sadly passed away. She and Nicola both performed at Mighty Hoopla in South London. She will be performing for the first time this coming Saturday, the first time since Sarah's sad passing at Birmingham Pride. And I think it's probably a case of one of those things like the show must go on. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think you're so right. I think it very much is a show would go on. I think Cheryl probably doesn't want to let her fans down. I'm pretty sure this was a commitment that was in her diary prior to the awful news that we've received recently. And also, I would go as far as say I'm sure Sarah would want her to. Do you know what I mean? I think the fans are going to be there wanting and willing Cheryl on. And I'm sure there'll be a moment, and I wouldn't be surprised if she addressed it at some point on stage. Yeah. So actually, I think there could be a really lovely moment there at Pride. Obviously, Sarah was hugely loved by the LGBT community, and being a Pride and everything, I just think it could be a really a lovely little moment. And I'm sure, yeah, like I say, I reckon Cheryl will probably address it. And the show does go on. I'm sure Cheryl really doesn't want to let all the people down that will have gone there purely, really, to see her or really excited to see her.
Yeah, yeah.
And what would you say? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you don't want to disrespect anyone's sort of memory. And I'm not suggesting for a second that she is, but some people might think of it like that, like, you know, like, how could you go back to work so soon? But, you know, I know people in my life who when they've suffered a bereavement, want to get back to what they know as quickly as possible, because what else do you do? I mean, of course, you're thinking about that person all the time, you know, and you might wake up and go to sleep thinking about them, but you can't do that forever. And I think that, for a lot of people, getting back to what they know is really important for routine and for their own mental health. Sarah's story is really horribly, horribly tragic for someone so young. But like you said, Cheryl's, is from what I can tell and what I've heard of her, is like a consummate professional. She, like you also said, like the LGBT fans, you know, she was brilliant at Mighty Hoopla, and I can imagine that she wants to get back to it as quickly as possible. And you know, if they do, as was rumored, sort of get back together for their 20th anniversary next year and some kind of fundraiser or charity event to do with breast cancer, then you know, that I imagine they'll all want to be getting some performance time in and feeling good about how being back on the stage. I imagine she will have something to say about it. It would be a bit odd if she didn't. I hope that everyone that goes manages to really enjoy themselves.
And I think you're right. And I think it's definitely worth people bearing in mind and noting that everyone deals with things differently.
Yeah.
And there is no right. And there's no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to grief, there really is no textbook for that. So whatever you do that makes you get through each day and process that and live with that, I think it is the right thing for you. But you're certainly right that some people, I've got friends that, and also I know when my mum got ill, for me, I mean, thankfully she's better now, but when she was ill, for me working, and she wanted me to continue working throughout her treatment, because I think it's already such a huge thing that's going on, you know, that for people to, there's only so much you can do sat at home. And actually, again, no right or wrong, but I think actually some people getting back to work, whatever that work may be. And I think maybe because of the nature of the industry, people might see it as a different thing. But regardless of what your career is, getting back at it and being around people, talking and getting some kind of normality helps people deal with their emotion and their grief. But certainly, like I say, I don't think there's any right or wrong. And anyone that's going through that at the moment, I don't think should feel pressure to go to work or not go to work. Like, do what feels good for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know when my mum was in hospital, I was there for sort of 3 weeks while she was in intensive care and came out and did all of that stuff. But once she was out and I knew that she was on the mend, I was keen to get back to my normal life. It's hard to spend that much time, you know, as much as I was happy to do it, it's difficult, like, to be on such an emotional level all the time. So when you can get back, when you know, like, yeah, if you're lucky enough to know that things are going to get better and you can go back to some sense of normality, then that's great. And I would imagine that, yeah, like you said, Cheryl is keen to do that. And I'm sure she'll knock it out of the park.
Absolutely. And I really do hope that the four girls do some kind of anniversary show or shows next year to honour the 20 years, because I'm all over that.
100%.
I love the girls aloud.
And, don't show me a gay in his mid-30s who doesn't, Bob.
We will be there.
We will definitely be there. Our guest Laura is here, so let's get her into to chat.
Amazing.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, Han.
You okay?
Yeah, really good. Thanks so much for joining
us. I've got like dodgy lines across my face now.
But you're catching that golden hour. I'm loving it.
Thank you.
Got an Instagram post right now.
Yeah, but look at my lines across my face.
Yeah, how you been keeping busy? Yeah, always.
Yeah, this must have been a bit of a shock to the system. Obviously, people will know you from when you did back first dates, and then you became a paramedic, and now you've basically became a paramedic at what would end up being the busiest time.
Qualify around coronavirus, it was like I qualified. It's been about 2.5 years. Kind of had like a bit of time just to get used to it. And then bam, coronavirus. I was like, right, what are the chances of that? I mean, get thrown in the deep end though. It's always good, isn't it? Best way to learn.
Absolutely. Completely. Gosh, and when we talk about deep ends, I don't think you'd get any deeper than that. How was it? Because I'm sure you have seen some, well, let's just say I'm sure you've seen some things over the last 18 months.
Yeah, it's obviously, I think it's been really hard for everyone. It's kind of knowing that like everyone's kind of in it as well. Mm. So obviously like we see like a different side to it, but everyone's having their own struggles, aren't they? But it's been hard. And I think the hardest thing for us was not being able to take relatives in when people are in a really critical condition and they're saying, I want to go with them. And we're there like, we can't. It's obviously not safe for them. But obviously, if it gets to the point where it is going to end up that the person obviously isn't going to survive, obviously they do get the chance to say goodbye to their relatives. But I know that there was a time where people weren't even getting that opportunity and were having like FaceTime calls and stuff. And it's like I said, it's been really hard for everyone. But I think what's happening is it's just going on for so long. I think everyone thought it was going to be a few weeks and that would be it, and it'd all be over and we could all just say, oh, do you remember coronavirus? But it's just going on and on and on.
Does it feel like that in your work as well? You know, that like the workload just isn't letting up.
Do you know, it's kind of, we go through like waves, like it is like up and down, and we get a new variant. It's been pretty constant, but like I said, there's also been like waves of it where you have a couple of weeks where you feel like every patient you go into is COVID positive, and that is just, it blows your mind. You just think this is never going to end. But then you might go a couple of weeks where you don't actually see a poorly person with COVID for a while. So it really is up and down. But I think the morale at work, it has changed. It's everyone is a bit sort of, because it's just going on for a long time now, isn't it? And life doesn't feel like it's gone back to normal as well. So like a lot of the times I remember like in the peak of it when you wanted to just go out and just go, I don't know, go and have a few tequila shots and go like let off a bit of steam, and you couldn't do it, could you? Obviously you could do it in your house, but you know, just
not quite the same on a Zoom call.
No, you want to go listen to Cheese music on the dance floor and just be an idiot and dance around, and you didn't get that chance. Like the things that you'd normally do to like kind of de-stress, it wasn't there. But it was the same for everyone. We were all kind of in quite a similar position, weren't we?
Mm.
And now we're seeing, thankfully, the vaccine rollout and so many people, millions are having it. Are you seeing, is there light at the end of the tunnel now in terms of what you're seeing your end at work?
Yeah, I honestly say the last few months for us, if I can only speaking from my own personal, obviously, like from my ambulance service, like, and it is starting to get a bit better. The people that we're seeing are less poorly, I would say. It's different age ranges, and I haven't been to a poorly COVID positive patient in quite a while now. It's been quite a good few weeks. Obviously I can't speak for my colleagues, but it's like I said, there was a point where I was going to 6 COVID positives a day and they were all really poorly. So I think there is light at the end of the tunnel, and obviously it's so sad that we've lost as many people as we have, but hopefully we are nearing the end of it. I hope so.
Oh, fingers crossed, Laura. I wanted to ask you, so COVID aside, you've gone and got engaged.
Oh yes,
tell us all about it. I love just it. Let you it, got the let ring. It, did you know it was coming? There. Was it a complete?
No, I
surprise?
Gave up hope in the end.
Oh, did
I was just
you?
Gonna, I was just going to plan my own wedding and just invite him along. No, so I got engaged in Portugal, in June. And it was on the beach. It was supposed to be Dubai, actually, but obviously because of COVID, Dubai, red list. So yeah. we got red listed. So now, so we had to go, well, do you know what? We was out in Portugal there and it was on the green list. And then they made an announcement while we was out there. Ooh. And we had, 48 hours before we came home. And I thought,
Had he proposed by that point yet?
Yeah, I'd got me ring.
Thank God, I bet you're thinking, right. I've got 48 hours to get on one knee, get in the ring, get the passports and get home.
Get a restaurant booking with a nice sunset in the background and a bottle of champagne ready.
But yeah, we were so lucky to get away though, to be honest. I've made the most of it. I've jumped on a plane every opportunity, like in my 4 days off, and just quickly just getting away, getting out of the country.
If anyone deserves it, what you guys have done throughout this pandemic, I think we speak for everyone on the NHS, you've been incredible. And the clapping on a Thursday evening didn't ever seem enough for what you've all seen and done.
Oh, so how good was that, though?
So amazing. But I honestly think you guys have done such a... You're like angels.
Oh, thank you. It's just a job, isn't it? At the end of the day, it's what you sign up for.
But tell us a bit about the... So now you're working with the Gratitude Games, is that right? Tell us a bit about that.
So I'm actually really excited about this. Basically, it's like a new mass sporting event to help support the mental health of all the emergency services workers and the NHS workers. And they're basically next year in April, May, in Manchester, they're holding this massive sporting event. It's got loads of different activities and they're getting 20,000 of the emergency services workers and the NHS to take part. And all of it is just to raise money, just for like, there's like existing charities already, and it basically gives like fast access to counselling and just other wellbeing services. And I think now is the time really that it's needed, isn't it? And it's it's just a bit of fun as well for the people taking part, just to get everyone together and that can just talk about all their experiences and what they thought of the last year, and also raising money for those that do need it. Because I read this statistic and it was, I can see how this has happened, but Mind did a survey and they found that 69% of emergency responders have said that in the last year since obviously COVID, their mental health has massively worsened. And I mean, we can all understand exactly how that's happened. Absolutely. So I just think like it's a bit of fun as well. It's this event, but it's also for a reason, to raise money for those that probably quite need it. Because I think emergency services with the mental health side of things, it is quite underfunded, as mental health is generally anyway. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's really good to be a part of it, really, and to be asked to be an ambassador. and not looking forward to the running part, I tell you that. I don't know what event I've been signed up for yet.
So yeah, do you know what kind of things are involved? So there's obviously gonna be running.
Yeah, there's like there's 5k, 10k, swimming, golf, archery.
It's like the actual Olympics.
It literally is like a mini Olympics, which so I don't know what I'll be doing in that. I'll sign myself up for I can't even think of what's a nice little gentle. I'll do the 100-meter walk.
Passing the baton like a relay.
Oh yeah, lovely.
Yeah. I was like, can I be the umpire? Yeah. But yeah, so but yeah, it'll be amazing, to be fair. And I think it'd be so, and it's inviting their families as well. And I just think it's just nice to be around other emergency services as well and other people that have all been through what we've all been through the last couple of years. So I'm really looking forward to it.
What sort of inspired you after doing a show like First Dates to go into this? Is something in the back of your head, sort of thing?
Yeah, so I did it I did it while I was in First Dates as well.
Okay.
I had to do. Oh God, I tell you, I was so busy. So I've always wanted to be a paramedic, and then I joined First Dates. And I was actually in the military as well. And I came out of there.
Just a couple of jobs. Yeah. Wow, blimey. Okay.
I get bored easily, right? Yeah. So I thought, right, when I came out, I said, I'll do my paramedic now. So I was doing weekends at First Aids and then Monday to Friday in Birmingham training. But I loved it. I loved being busy. And it was two completely different contrasting jobs. And then obviously the pandemic hit and, yeah, I was quite needed as a paramedic. And I'm in a way, First Aid's going ahead without me. It was kind of, I don't know how I would have managed them both anyway. Mm-hmm. When I had my days off, it was literally sitting, watching Netflix and not moving from the sofa. So, yeah, I don't know how I'd have been able to do both anyway. But lucky.
How did First Aid's come about for you?
So I was actually waiting to go in the Navy at the time, and my friend worked in TV, and she said they're looking for a waitress for a new show, and she messaged me and said, I've signed you up for something. And I said, what on earth have you signed me up for now? And she just laughed, and I thought, God, here we go. And then I got an interview like you would in a normal kind of restaurant setting, and yeah, the rest was history. And there we go, I did 7 years on there in total in the end.
That's a long stint.
Yeah.
Are you glad you did it though?
Oh, of course. I wouldn't say I'm any better of a waitress now though than what you would not want me serving your food.
That's the thing. I mean, I was a waiter back when I was at university and at college and stuff, and I was absolutely terrible. It's just some people aren't good at it, are they?
I am just terrible. The amount of spills I've done and stuff, I can put my hands up and say I'm a terrible waitress.
It's hard to people think,
it is not as easy to tell you. So you're balancing plates and getting people's orders. No, I'm not a great one. I can talk. I like talking to people. I just don't really like carrying the food.
Yeah, well, I spilt chips down someone on the first day I did it.
Did you?
And I was walking out of one plate at a time. They was like, no, you can't do.
Well, firstly,
you can't take one plate, and secondly, and poured chips down someone. Oh my gosh, you just know me. And then you think, do I pick them up? Or there ain't no blagging that. So no, I'll take 7 years doing that. That's good.
Yeah, well, my first day it was with the cameras and everything, and I was taking a tray with Diet Coke on it and tipped it out, and it went up in a handbag, the whole bag emptied in a handbag, and I thought, that's it, I'm out of the job here.
How did she react?
Yeah, she was fine. She was on TV. She couldn't get coffee.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Actually, that's a really good point.
You're being recorded here.
Well, let's just hope you're a better paramedic than you are.
I would like to think I am. Yeah. But yeah, I'm so lucky to be able to have done both. Like, I absolutely loved my first job. It was amazing. The people I've met and just the experiences I got from it, absolutely incredible.
Do you still speak to anyone from your time?
Yeah, we're still in a WhatsApp group. Do you know, Fred actually FaceTimed me the other day, and he was with Gordon and Gino. And
oh, really?
I had spot cream on here and here. I had my hair on my head, and I'm sat there on the sofa watching Netflix, and it said, Fred, FaceTime. And I thought, oh, God, what's this? And then up pops Gino, and I was like, losing my mind. It was but
what was he calling for? Just to say hello.
He just said hello. They were actually out recording the just released a new program, haven't they?
The travel one, yeah,
they were out doing that. So, and I was just running around the house. I was running upstairs, running down. Because do you ever do it when you pace up and down when you're on the phone?
Yeah, the nerves.
I was just running, running with my spot cream on. But yeah, I speak to quite a lot of them still. Even the people backstage as well. You know, like I say backstage, it's not really a stage, but it's like the producer,
behind
like
the scenes.
The camera people, the sound people, yeah. Such a great team. They're amazing.
And have you spoken to Merlin?
Yes, I have.
And how's he doing?
Do you know what? He's doing really well. He's keeping really positive. Obviously, it's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Awful. We've had him on here.
Yeah, we have had him on here.
Life's
before.
Not really fair, is it? But the way that his attitude is going to keep him up here, he's really positive. Making jokes like he normally does. So yeah, but he will get through it.
Yeah, and that's what you know. What you're about, if you've got that mentality, like
do you know, even seeing it in my work, we obviously deal with a lot of cancer and everything, and some people's attitudes, it just I can't get myself over it because I'm like, I can't believe you can stay so positive, but you have to, don't you? And it honestly does carry you through. I think if you think yourself, we're going to beat it. I honestly think you give yourself a better chance. So he's going to be absolutely fine.
Could you see yourself ever doing some reality again, or do you think you're kind of done?
Oh God,
TV
I'd
now?
Love to. I would absolute you? TV work is one of my favorite. I can't act, so that's out the question.
So no Corrie in the question. Right?
Yeah.
No Corrie barmaid.
No, but I absolutely. I've got lip gloss on. Can you see me? Yeah. Keep saying stuff.
You're fine.
But yeah, I would. If the opportunity ever came up, I always said I'd love to do SAS. Who Dares Wins. That was one of my favourites.
That's a hard one.
I mean, I wouldn't be any good at it, I don't think, but I'd love to give it a go.
Give it a go,
I'd turn up. But yeah, just things like that, like action kind of things, I'd love. But obviously, reality TV doesn't get dished out to everyone, does it? Yeah, so, but I love being part of a TV. So I just love the whole thing, the production, everything.
SAS would probably feel like a holiday to you after the last 18 months, but being a paramedic, I would imagine.
I don't think anyone's described SAS as a holiday. But can you imagine someone...
When you got a hood on your head and you're someone screaming.
It's the people shouting at you, isn't it? I just honestly think I'd be like, that is really, really mean.
You know, when they get like that torch around, there's so much I couldn't do, but when they get like headphones of babies screaming or crying for hours, literally couldn't.
And they put you in a position, don't they? Make you sit in an
stress
awkward position. You know, like every time, even watching Netflix after 5 minutes, I have to keep turning. So I think if you put me in the same position for like 14 hours, listening to baby scream.
I'm stressed watching it with a pack of Jaffa Cakes, do you know what I mean?
You know the bit where they say, like, they do the interrogation? I feel like I'd just give everyone up. You know, you're like, no, I'll give you all the information. Get me home.
They're there. They're in this room. They've been there for this long. Yeah, this is all secret.
Phone number's 079.
So maybe you want to do it, Laura, but in theory rather than in practice. Maybe that's what it is.
I think that's what it is.
Well, if we want to find out more about the Gratitude Games, where can we look it up? Do you know?
So if you head to they've got Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and they've got a crowdfunding page on there at the moment. They're trying to get as many people to back them at the moment just to raise funds so that this can all happen. I think they've raised about £8,000 so far.
Oh, amazing.
So they're doing really well. And I hope they do raise the money because it will be an amazing event for everyone. You'll all get to see me running. Which is entertaining for everyone.
Well, good luck with it, I guess. And I hope that the like you said earlier, the pandemic is coming to an end, and maybe just ease up a little bit with the work, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for having me. You're welcome,
my love. Okay, take care.
Have a lovely evening. Take care. Stay safe.
Bye.
And you. Bye.
What a lovely girl.
Yeah, what a lovely girl. And to deal with all of that so well. That's a lot going on. So good on her and good on the Gratitude Games. It sounds like it'll be a great event. So there was also some big reunion news in the last week, hasn't there? Obviously, we've had lots of band reunions in the last couple of years. We've had Steps and Atomic Kitten and Spice Girls back in 2019. And now The Wanted are getting back together. What do you make of that? I thought it was very, very sweet, very touching that. News.
I think it's such a lovely thing. Like, I've personally worked with Siva in the past, and he's such a lovely guy. And I genuinely just get such a lovely boy as well, or man. But yeah, I just think, especially if they're with Tom, I think it's so lovely that they've put on this show. I would have loved to have been there. I really would. I'm sure it was amazing.
Well, they're planning on doing a full set of dates, I believe, aren't they? They did a Stand Up To Cancer thing. I'm pretty sure they're going to do some more dates. I think there's a lot of, especially like post pandemic, or kind of during the pandemic, there's a lot of discussion about or love for like nostalgia, right? And The Wanted were sort of, because they were around the same time as One Direction, weren't they? So sort of the early 2010s sort of time. They were just like a big deal, and just like, they always seemed like really nice guys. They had a show in America, I think, didn't they? And they had some really good bangers. So I don't see why I imagine their fans are quite excited.
You're right. I definitely think there's a want for nostalgia. I think after everything that the world's been through, it must be something. I mean, I don't know the subconscious reason behind it, but maybe it's going back to happier times, normal
simpler times.
Simpler times. And like everyone, and I guess regardless of what age or generation you are, you've all, because I can date moments of my life through music I listen
to. Definitely, so
I know my secondary school music era, when I started working, certain relationships. And I think that's the thing with music, isn't it? It can take you back to the most amazing of times. Likewise, if it's a breakup, certain songs or that relationship, if it hasn't ended in marriage and you broke up, it can take you back to that moment in time. But yeah, I think that's the thing, and we all just kind of want that little bit of a throwback.
Yeah, totally. I was listening to something the other day where they were saying that a lot of artists when the pandemic started back in 2020, that a lot of them wanted to delay projects or put them back. But actually, because so many people were sort of sitting in their houses desperate for entertainment, those albums have become, I'm thinking of like Lady Gaga and, you know, her song with Ariana Grande, Kylie with her disco album, and Billie Eilish, and those are people that release albums during the pandemic, really at its worst point, how those albums have gone on to become quite, especially on the pop side, have become quite iconic because of the time they were released. If they would have delayed them for another sort of 2 years or whatever, then maybe it wouldn't have been as big, because people were happy kind of in a way to dance around by themselves in their living rooms at that time. So yeah, I'm hoping for the boys, and especially like you mentioned, for Tom, who does have a terminal a brain tumor, you know, and that's horribly sad. But I read something that he said, where he said, I accept that it's part of my life, but I don't want it to kind of run my life. And I think that's a prime, it's not something I've had to deal with personally, but I would imagine would be the best possible way you can deal with it. You understand that you have it, but you've got to get on with your life while you have it, while you are still here, you know, like you've got to live every day as much as you can. And for someone like Tom and the rest of the boys from The Wanted, I imagine, well, it was a huge part of their lives. So I can imagine that it's really nice for them to be all together again and sort of be enjoying themselves.
And I guess for him, obviously, I'm not speaking for him. I don't know him personally, but I bet it's lovely for him to be with the boys on stage and to be doing something he loves and to not be thinking about it and worrying.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's that taste of, it's probably an amazing distraction for him. And to be with the lads, it's clearly that they've been through so much together, their lives changed, they had an amazing band. Like, I'm sure it couldn't have come at a better time for him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's wish them all the best. And why don't we have a little trip down memory lane and play one of their songs today? We don't usually do that, but let's do it today.
Yeah, let's get nostalgic, Steve.
Let's get nostalgic. Let's play a little bit of All Time Low.
My head. Hide it, won't hide it. Smile, you won't hide it. Like I ain't tried it. Everyone's tried it now. And failed somehow. So when you gonna let me? When you gonna let me out? Out. And if you know, how do you get up from an all time low? How do I choose between my head and heart? Till it ceases, I never know. How do you get up from an all-time low? And if you know, how do you get up from an all-time low? I'm in pieces, it seems like pieces. The only thing I never know. How do you get up from an all-time low? I can't even find a place to start. How do I choose between my head and heart? Till it ceases, I never know. How do you get up from an all-time low? I can't even find a place to start. How do I choose between my head and heart? Till it ceases, I'll never know. How do you get up from an all-time low?
Well, that was lovely to hear the boys singing again, and hopefully we'll be hearing more from them in the future. So what have you got coming up this week, Bob? I think we've probably covered all the bases at the beginning of the show, didn't we?
We've had a little bit of a flip reversal this show, haven't we? We started off with our weeks to come, but yeah, more of my behind the scenes filming at Tell. We're going to go do a few interviews on location and then back into my studio on Friday, back on set and doing the official after party. How about
all
you?
Good.
Just getting ready for that trek up. I was going to say Kilimanjaro. It ain't Kilimanjaro, is it?
If only I was going to Kenya.
Is that in Kenya?
Yeah.
No,
it's Ben Nevis, the highest mountain in the UK. But it's not really a mountain. But anyway, yeah, so I'll be doing that and spending some time with my family up north. And I haven't, all my dad's side of the family are from the northeast, but my dad moved away from there 6 years ago, so I haven't been up there for a very long time, and I used to spend a lot of time there as a kid. So I'm actually really looking forward to it. It'll just be nice to spend some time there, really.
You're going to have a bit of haggis and an iron brew.
that when I get to Scotland, most definitely, well, I'm veggie, Bob, so no haggis.
Yeah, there must be a nice veggie alternative,
mushroom and turnip haggis.
Yeah.
But my auntie does like a drink, so we're going to probably have a few wines and just have a really nice time. Lots of walks and hanging out. Yeah, it'll be really nice. Be
so nice. And probably one of the last weeks you can get away with doing that before the weather turns. So well planned.
Yeah. Let's hope so. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Well, yes.
I'll have them crossed for you, but I've got to miss you next week.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, I won't be
here
next week.
Fingers crossed for the trek and the weather.
Let's hope I don't fall over. So everyone, thank you for listening to our slightly different show this week. Until next week, goodbye.
Bye, guys. Stay safe.